Good evening, everyone, and welcome again to our vigil. And Tuya is inviting you to have your videos on if you want. I want to say that yesterday I think we had quite a good discussion. The trouble is, I didn't record it, and I apologize for that. And I just want to. After saying a couple of things about the present situation, I want to look at the first slide and just say a thing or two,
Michael,
and then
do
we'll
you record now.
What, dear?
Do you
yes.
record?
Oh, yes. Now I'm recording.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm recording now. Okay, everything is fine. Okay, that's right. And if you're in your pajamas, you don't have to show your picture. It's okay.
No, we don't mind that. You can.
It's okay, whatever. Okay. Well, we are moving closer and closer to the day when every state group moves to its capital and finally decides by vote upon its electors. It looks like things are heading in the right direction, but already there are hints and promises of violence and escalation. And the present occupant of the White House is promoting the idea that violence may arise. So we have to continue our work along this line because the psychological situation in the country is rather desperate. The individual concerned is, I believe, a pathological narcissist, and I believe he will become desperate and will seek to animate the unthinking group that follows him into potential acts of violence and obstruction. This is certainly possible. And so the kind of work that we do internally must continue. We're just a small little group. And there are others, of course, who are working in similar ways, but we know the meditative techniques and we align with the great powers, the Christ and the hierarchy, and something of value can emerge. We don't know in what way it can emerge, but it will have its effect. So thus we continue, and a very important Supreme Court case, or potential Supreme Court case, is coming up. It's a preposterous proposal that from Texas, a lawsuit is being filed to override the conditions in about four or five swing states, as if Texas had anything to do with the decisions in those states. Millions upon millions of votes would be thrown out, and the voting people would be disenfranchised. Experts in this area do not think that that lawsuit will even be heard by the Supreme Court, and that probably it will come to nothing. But just to let us all know what is the thinking of the people who are so captivated by their wish to win that they would destroy the democracy of the United States, which is based upon faith in the voting process. But that's all I want to say. I will, Tuya, if you will just turn to what we covered yesterday, I just say a couple of things, okay? This
I think we went through this first life and then the two last ones.
We did go through, dear. We did go through, but there was no recording. And I've just been asked if I would say something. You know, someone asked here, would I say something about it? The main task of the new group of world servers is to bring in the will to good. And what I did say about that is that there are these great archetypes produced by the mind of God, and they are from the world of being. Now, we all live in the world of becoming, shall we say, and the good is the work that is done to make the archetypes, the divine patterns, found in the world of being appear and be manifest in the world of becoming. There is also this issue about whether one takes sides or not. It seems that there are karmic factors involved always. And we don't know the karma, as Tuya was saying. We don't know the karma of the groups involved. But we always stand on principle. And when we stand on principle, when we stand for the divine plan as it expresses the divine purpose, we are automatically taking the side of the good, of the hierarchy. And the karma will work out. There's nothing we can do about that. Okay. And that's not our business anyway. Our business is to stand in spiritual being for purpose as we can understand it, and for the plan as we can understand it. And then that will combine with the unalterable karma, and the good will result. So, and at the same time, just repeating this, hierarchy is the enemy of those who would destroy humanity. And it's the enemy of those principles of evil, but it is never the enemy of any human being who has been seduced, overcome by those principles of evil. So hierarchy does not take sides against other people. It takes sides in terms of standing for principle, and then the karma will work out accordingly. Is there anything you want to add to that, Tuya?
Yeah, it's the same thing, what he says.
Yeah, well, I'm just...
It's not in that, but anyway, the same thing about that hierarchy is against all the evil, but not against any group or against humanity.
Yeah, against aggression. So yes, go ahead.
Yeah, I think it was in the other slides than in these.
Was it? Well, it was somewhere here. It said hierarchy would not tolerate that which deprived people of their innate freedom, because after all, they are spirits. Every one of us is a spirit within the great spirit, and hierarchy will never take sides. It says here they took side against the primary principle of evil, but never against any human being. That is the key that we must understand when people say, well, shouldn't you be neutral? We can't be neutral when it comes to the principles of good and evil, but we certainly do not have to attack any human being as being totally irredeemable, unless, of course, they have gone over to the Black Lodge, and even then they are redeemable at length, after they have journeyed far into the land of distances. As a matter of fact, I didn't mention it yesterday, but Master Moria talked about how the solar system works, he says there is a brown spot on Saturn that is prepared for the reception of certain evildoers. I imagine they go through a terrible situation and something that turns them around will occur. And that's a piece of occult information from Agni Yoga. And, you know, it's very strange, isn't it? But it's a Saturnian kind of place, shall we say. Yeah.
Yeah, there is something about this, the mystery of evil, where he is talking about this, how does he call it, entity of Earth, or how did he
yes,
call
it? Yes, the Earth entity, but not the Earth spirit.
Right.
Yeah.
And this Earth entity is something which is between the like kingdoms. So it is not animal. It is not plant. It at the moment he was saying, describing that it can be referred like the fetus, which can only hear. But there is no other things in it, and it is coming into its purpose in the next solar system. And that is called the real beast. So there is like this type of life energy or force do not have intelligence aspect in it. And that's why it is so dangerous that it has to be left in its own realm. And that is something which is innate in the matter, in the substance. And DK was telling it that the first time when we started to discuss, I was reading about that, how DK is describing that this innate attitude, readiness to either respond to the lies or either respond to the truth. That is what is really in the bottom of our humanity, that there are people who are still in that kind of evolutionary states that they cannot distinguish deeply enough how dangerous the lie is or the false is. But they are like aligning naturally towards that direction. And that we can see at present time happening in the United States, for instance, we can say all over. And then there is people, not only disciples, but also people whose heart has been somewhat developed, that they somehow just naturally respond to the truth. They just go along that truth line. So that's why we can see that sometimes it's like a waste of time trying to convince those who are so deeply in that innate, natural way of going, that whatever you reason, it's like that there is not substance for that. Mm. And this is something what makes some situations sad, because you cannot do anything else than to leave the life to take care of it and the suffering take care of it.
You know, regarding this question of the beast, this was a mistake by the planetary logos on the moon chain, particularly. This is what DK tells us. How would we know any of this? He tells us that there was premature compassion, compassion on the part of the planetary logos for this developing entity, which had nothing of the, you know, the intelligence needed to really be set free. And the planetary logos gave it greater freedom than it should have had. And hence the madness on the moon and carried over into our Earth chain as well. Someone asked, do I know what Agni Yoga book this brown spot on Saturn is mentioned? I don't. You know, there's what, 12 or I don't know how many books. And I read and read and read. And it's been a long time. I cannot tell you, but if you go to the Agni Yoga website, and they also have a search engine. It's not as good as the Bailey search engine because you cannot put combinations of words. But if you put the word brown spot, and or if you put Saturn down, as that planet is not mentioned too often, you're very likely to find it. It's like a prison for the redemption of those who have really gone very, very far on the left-hand path and maybe members of the Black Lodge. So I can't tell you that exactly, Yvonne, but you can find it if you go to Agni Yoga.
There is, again, when we think about that principle, is that this Makara mystery is about this, which is related so much to Saturn, Capricorn, solar angels who are descending into the matter. And they are like those who are masking themselves to be the lower beings who are not. Like humanity for the lower kingdoms is some kind of solar angel. Somewhere TK talks about that humanity, why humanity is so important is that the redemption of the lower kingdoms is related to the redemption of humanity. That if we are not doing our work, then the lower kingdoms will not be redeemed. And all what is happening is about the redeeming story. Everything is about that behind the scenes, how we are redeeming from the earlier system. All these wrong patterns has to be organized and corrected. And that is what we do via our minds, that we organize. That's why we say hierarchy, that hierarchy is the organized minds. How it was called?
Society of organized and illumined minds.
Right.
Society of organized and illumined minds. Also here, Heike has talked about the will and different sources about which you can read, or from which you can read about the will. Sources: Alice Bailey, Blavatsky, Rurich, Assagioli, Steiner, etc. Yes, of course, we can get a lot of different points of view, and they are often very valuable points of view. So some of the simplest understanding of it, at least as far as what humanity can understand, comes through Assagioli in his book, The Act of Will. If we pick that book up and read through carefully and work with the exercises, we come into a greater familiarity with the exercise of will and how to do that very intelligently. DK hints at still higher nature of the will, and basically he says, it's somewhat beyond our grasp, but it has to do, as we said yesterday, with acquiescence to a higher point of tension.
Then Yvonne is asking, how can lower kingdoms be redeemed if they don't have the gift of mind? So this is the mystery, that in this solar system, the fire is the means of redeeming or transforming. So Lord Agni is behind that all intelligence activity, how everything, how the matter is uplifted, how it is organized into the patterns of the present solar system. And humanity, because we are built from these lower kingdoms, while we go through our initiatory processes, then we are giving this new pattern into this wrong pattern system, what is still like the present system in our planet. But that is how we are uplifting. And this is this great mystery. We can talk about technically in many ways. DK is telling about in White Magic, about that, how the soul works through the mental plane, astral plane, and etheric plane. And our meditation work is about it. All our activities when we purify ourselves is about it. So we can just name, it is so vast thing what is going on this planet.
You know, but then sorry. Okay, finish. Then I just have something to say on what you said.
Yeah, you can say, Michael.
Page 844 of A Treatise on Cosmic Fire, we understand that what works through the kingdoms are great intelligent entities who are far beyond the human stage. And they have to come into adjustment with each other. And that, and through their intelligence and through their right adjustment will come the redemption of the kingdoms through which they live. Now, just to give an example, the entity which works through the human kingdom and the entity that works through the animal kingdom are out of adjustment with each other. They have a very fractious relationship, perhaps because man shares the animal body with the animals. And when that Martian group is adjusted with humanity, which is more meant to be a Venusian group, then all the members in those kingdoms will be uplifted. So we're not just dealing here, Ivan, with lack of intelligence. We're dealing with tremendous intelligence and the repatterning of the various members of these groups, all ruled by great intelligent entities, which have a span not just on our planet, but all the way through the solar system. The kingdoms of nature and those great entities are found all the way through the solar system. So intelligence is definitely involved in the repatterning effort. And right now, you know, the worst that's going on in our kingdom, right, in our planet right now, is the relationship between the animal and the man. And that it really has gone badly and needs to be adjusted. You may have seen that it's sort of a primitive painting by an early American painter, and it's called The Peaceable Kingdom. And the lion is lying down with the lamb, and so forth. You know, we already see this emerging, that there is an adjustment going on between cross-species friendships, between animals that you would not have any idea could relate to each other in this loving way. And then when humanity begins to start treating the animal kingdom correctly, which is now the case, because there are certain advocates which really bring this forward, then the adjustment will occur that is needed to produce the peaceable kingdom. Anyway.
Yes, right. And we are going to, next year, going to take one of our meditations, which is directly related to animal kingdom, and we try to bring and call forth the help for this process. So then about the violet flame, when we think about the violet flame and violet light, so there is a difference, and we will talk about this more in some point in more details. But now what we use in our meditation, we use that violet light. So make yourself this distinguishment, that there is a real distinction, because flame is much more, if I may say, closer to the physical. It affects really the fourth subplane or the etheric plane. And that's why it's like more powerful. We have to think about what does it mean, because in the deeper sense, the violet light is more powerful than the flame. But we have to always understand or translate into ourselves, what do we actually mean? And this this transportation is absolutely in the rank of those violet devas, which are the closest of the physical. And Kshiti, who is the Maharaja of the lowest plane, is actually teaching our masters in this transition moment in humanity. First of all, trying to help us to understand and give masters instructions that our etheric body is going to be strengthened. Why we have to put so much emphasis now on the etheric body is about that the humanity is trying to go through the first initiation, which is about the etheric level. And all this, how the food is manipulated, is a huge danger for humanity. And when these laws are going all the time, that more and more changes can be accepted or are accepted, so the food is manipulated. So all disciples should think about that. Sometimes it's not possible to have the local food. The local food is the most important for us. And to have this very natural way of cultivated, but they mean in etheric levels, because everything consists in information, and those lower beings, elementals who are unconscious in relationship to us, they cannot stop what we do. So we control them. And that's why this whole thing about the violet flame is about that it is helping to purify. And what I have been thinking, why DK is in those places where he is giving instructions to the protection, he gives about colors, because colors are directly the communication form with those lower ones, unconscious life forces. So that's why when we visualize, we try to be very careful how we visualize, that we visualize these colors very pure and full of light. Because when we think about, for instance, violet color can be very, very deep and dark. And then it is that vibrational level which the dark forces can use. So this violet, what we are using, is full of light, and it is affecting those important groups of the devas of the shadow or army of the voice, which is for help, even though they are unconscious, but they are for help for us, because they are there on the lowest ranked who can then pattern the new way. And they are the ones who can actually hear the sound of the soul. That's why we can use, or the soul is able to use, this lower rank of the entities.
I just have something to add here, that if you go to a treatise on white magic and you look up the section about how to be rid of fear, the violet light is featured in the most advanced method, which really invokes the entire hierarchy or the masters of which we may be aware. And that's only to be used in the case of a definite occult attack against you or against your group. So it's really worth reading. There are different methods of ridding oneself of fear. And finally, the use of the violet light is the most extreme or powerful method. The four colors, you know, how does it go? It goes, lavender is the top color, correct?
Translucent lavender.
Yeah, translucent lavender, and kind of a purple
lavender,
color.
Lavender, then violet, yeah. And purple.
Light violet, and then a violet, then purple. And the dark brothers have their own particular kind of purple, which is not to be used by the workers in the light. And it's called by quite an ugly name, loathsome purple, hateful purple. interesting, you know, they work with purple and they work with a color called lurid green. Now, again, those are not pretty words, but the idea is there's something unnaturally evil about these colors, or at least they mask some sort of degenerating force. So we work with the violet, the purple, the light violet, and the lavender. I believe that's how it goes. Something like that.
Yeah, it is said, because when we think about all of these elemental lives, from our perspective, they are unconscious. But there are, in their ranks, there are still more to be directed. There is a rank which is somewhat turning towards the sun. And you can see in the flowers, those flowers which are following the sun, they belong to this army of the voice, which is turning to the light. But then there are some ranks which are suitable for the dark forces, and they are gray, brown, and gray, brown.
Gray, the dark browns, and then this what I was talking about, the green and the violet.
Green, yeah, and the violet, yeah, mm-hmm. Violet group. They are those which the our dark brothers are using. But they say, DK says that they cannot use the gaseous devas. And it's interesting. So it tells about us when we think about that, how the soul is working. Soul needs gaseous devas on the mental plane and the air devas. And that's why everything what is destroying that phenomenon and that field, we should be protecting. One of the thing is that noise, heavy noise in the cities is destroying the life place for these devas, what we need. So he's describing that in the future, we are living in the silent cities.
Yeah.
So the silence is important for us too.
The place where you can find the information on this particular color or series of colors is page 912 of a treatise on cosmic fire. These devas of the shadows are of a dark purple on the fourth etheric level, of a lighter purple much the same as the color violet on the third etheric level, a light violet on the second, while on the atomic subplane they are of a glorious translucent lavender. So there you have it in a treatise on cosmic fire.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay. And one can feel that oneself if you think about the colors, the color violet. So then when you feel in you that it is uplifting you, so then the tone is correct. But if you feel anything that it is drawing you towards the earth, then that color is not correct, violet. So you can feel that within you. And that today when we are using that color, so that we practice that within us.
It reminds one of, you know, there's a lot going on within the earth, not just on its surface. Mm. And one of the really interesting things is that there are certain evolutions far below the surface of the earth. They have bodies which are somehow meant or are capable of withstanding that kind of heat and pressure. And they are never meant to come in touch with humanity. And there are certain colors which lead down into those hidden chambers. So DK basically is warning us about that kind of downward drag into very, very primitive kingdoms. He goes all into this with cosmic fire. It's really quite amazing, the different orders of life. And sometimes when you're looking at such animals as the so-called mythological Sasquatch, you know, up in the North Woods and so forth, they may be among those creatures that are coming from far below. So there's a lot more going on the different layers of our planet than we imagine, and we are pretty much surface dwellers. There's also something called the Hollow Earth theory. It seems to be advanced by Master Hilarion and his students, and there is something to be said for it. The Tibetan hints at that. Now, maybe there's all kinds of incandescent fire going on in the very center there of the earth, but it's considered hollow in some respect. So there's a whole lot about what's about geology and subterranean geology that we know very little about, but that will be emerging, you know, in the Aquarian Age more and more, I suspect. Okay, dear, where are we?
Well,
we probably wandered off into all kinds of things. But look, you know, when you're dealing with color, you're dealing with a veil, the presence of which transmits to you a certain degree of intensity of a higher energy. See, you can't get the whole thing, perhaps, but you can get something from the color, and it makes present a certain quality that you can possibly use. So look, these things are called spiritual numerals, okay? And when you have the color and the note and the symbol and the ray and the astrological sign, which are all associated as spiritual numerals, you have the elements of working with magic in an effective manner. And that's why the subject is so very blinded, let us say. We think we know something about it, but there are all kinds of blinds that are temporarily holding back the information from full disclosure. Some things we do know. He says, basically, all you can really be sure of is green and blue, and all the rest is filled with all kinds of blinds. So it will be interesting, and it's one of the first methods of healing to come into effective practice, the fourth method of healing, which involves sound and color particularly. Now, have I wandered even farther away from the subject? I'm sure I have.
That is very fascinating. Jesse is saying both color and sound are representations of types of energy. Yes.
Yeah, very much exactly. So. And we have to learn, look, that's where the creative imagination comes in. Now, you know, if I ask you to see the color blue, internally, you probably can do it. And if I ask you to hear a note internally, you know, like you would hear a sung note or a note on a violin or something. You probably can do it, probably. And composers like Bach, he used to make fun of people who had to use a reference instrument in order to compose what they were doing, because he heard everything in his head. And the great composers, you know, they do hear in the imaginative mind the notes that they have to render and put into expression. So the imagination is a huge tool that we can use to contact inner energies. And we can say, well, I need to be surrounded by red light or by, I don't know, you know, blue light or green light or something. But you can also imagine those things with a degree of intensity, which actually will bring the quality of that color into your life. And when you're sounding the right note and the right symbol is before you, for instance, I could just go off on something here.
Yes, but dear.
Do you think I could? But suppose I sounded, the note F, which is the
here
note
we
fa.
Go.
We're almost gone. It's a green note. And while I'm doing that, I visualize the color green and a triangle. See, you're combining three methods of access at the same time. And there are others, forms in meditation, they are called. And one day they will be revealed to us in addition to the magical mantric words. Okay, I won't say any more now.
Yeah, I think that we will finish here. We didn't read any text today.
Okay.
Sorry. But I think it was giving us background for this, that because we are using so much colors in this protective work that we are doing. Is there any last comment that anybody wants to say or comment?
I can say something.
Okay. I didn't ask for me.
I can say this, that although we didn't read a thing we were supposed to, at least we recorded it.
Oh, that's great, Michael. Okay. Yeah, clap, clap. And by the way, it's lovely to see many of you have cats. It's lovely to see your animals there too, your disciples.
Do you know what rays the cats are on? Does anybody know what rays the cats are on? Just want to know if you know. Because he gives it.
Three.
Rays.
Three.
Yes. And? Four. Three and four. Cats are on ray three and four. Okay, maybe that's far enough away from the subject to stop.
Yeah, there were many of you, Francis and Karen said also ray three. Okay.
How about turkeys? I have one at my window.
Oh
my goodness. Well, let me think about that one.
Yeah, bird kingdom.
The whole bird kingdom, you know, it gets us in. He separates the bird kingdom from the animal kingdom. DK does that. And it's got a huge amount of ray seven in it, you know, plus all of the coloring of ray four and so forth. Yes.
Okay. And about that, how devas and humans are related via the bird kingdom. And the birds has very deep mystery behind them when we study the world mythology and how the great beings, these divine beings, were interacting with humans. They had the symbolism of bird. And so we can talk about that another time. But let us now move into the stray cats like my backyard.
Into the meditation, perhaps?
Yes, yes. Okay. And thank you for everybody very much for your participation and for your lovely presence and your lovely faces and smiles. Yes, okay. And I stop my video here. Let us few times take deep breath. And we center ourselves. And we are aware of the group. And we catch up from yesterday, where we left in meditation. And we use the silence in order to communicate with these gaseous devas and have their presence. And we are ready to start our work. And again, we perform consciously the triangle between the soul, mind, and brain. So that there is a direct and free inflow from the higher self to the lower. Align with your soul or angel. And with the soul or angel of United States. Recognize this vast angelic cooperation. Realize that your soul is somehow linked in the mystery with the solar angel of the United States and its Dharma. I light the way. I am the light of the world, Christ said. And that light links us with his mission to bring heaven to earth. We all are working for that, preparing his coming. Let us gather in his name. We have gathered in your name, Lord Maitreya, be with us. And welcome his presence. Let us now again perform the mudra dhyani mudra, the mudra of meditation and of will. In this group union, we hold the world in harmony, inner and outer world in harmony. Now again, we will perform the cross of divinity. And why we are doing this is that this is one form of protection for oneself and for the group. We touch four places: forehead, heart, left eye, and right eye, while we are saying these affirmations. So let us touch our forehead and say, as a soul, I work in light. And heart, darkness cannot touch me. Left eye, I take my stand within the light. Right eye, I work, and from that point I never move. Sense that etheric cross of divinity, what has been performed before you and in front of every single group member. We did that for the protection of the whole group. Now, when we have this experimental work of protection, aligning with the soul, sign of United States, Aquarius. Through which the seventh ray is pouring and related to the coming new age. Then we now start to work with this new protection. It is given by Master DK. In White Magic, he says, occult attacks and occult powers warring militantly against the aspirant will occur. And we again remember that the country can be also considered as aspirant. They may make their power felt in one or other of the vehicles, and in rare cases where the aspirant is important enough on all at once, sometimes there will be attacks directed against the individual worker, sometimes against groups of workers. Now we start to take these steps, but first just check that your physical body is relaxed. Astral body is quiet. And the mind is steady. We then create a triangle between the personality of the group. With our unified soul, and with the Master R, the Regent of Europe and America. And see him as the apex of the triangle. Let us call down a stream of pure white light pouring it through the lower vehicles of the group, thus cleansing away all that hinders. Visualize the governmental triangle, which is filled with white light. And visualize it pours through the triangle into the whole country, filling the aura of United States with white light, purifying and cleansing all that hinders. Let us now link ourselves again up as one with the Lords or Masters, with the Brotherhood for which we are working. And through the stillness, what has been achieved, visualize those Masters of whom you know. Raising your vibration higher still, we connect up, if possible, with the Johans. And with the Manu, according to the line of politics with which we are now working, and along which the attack may come. Through the linking chain and through all the vehicles, a stream of violet light and beautiful violet full of light. Working through all the vehicles of the group into the triangle of a governmental triangle, and pouring into the whole country. Filling the aura of United States with beautiful violet light. This is creating a vacuum. And we feel that vacuum. Now visualizing beautiful golden color pouring from the body. Through the group into governmental triangle, and into the whole country, feeling the aura. Shining golden color. And we are aware that these angels of the mental plane, golden color, white golden, and flame color, devas are working with us. We go further in our work, and now we call the forces of protection, the angels of protection. Archangel Michael, who is like God, and his saving force. He is also the protector of the Christ. So let us see him protecting the covenantal triangle. And Christ standing above in the center of the covenantal triangle. And we around this triangle. Holding our post, being protected with the cross of divinity, standing in the sacred circle and performing the mudra of Dhyani. The mudra of the deity. Now we invoke the second ray, the soul ray of United States, and we visualize this indigo blue pouring from the heart of the Christ into the triangle. Covenantal triangle. Visualize, use your creative imagination, how this triangle is filled with the indigo blue. Pouring out, and we are the distributors of this great blue, indigo blue, the soul ray of the United States, and pouring further into every single state. Coloring every single government of the states. And finally then, fulfilling the whole aura of United States. We call the ray of the soul into action. Hold that vision so that this soul ray and soul values is controlling outer performance. There are no limitations when the true esoteric work is undertaken. To this end, I seek to emphasize renewed application to meditation and a constant steady use of the invocation, particularly the one which begins by invoking the Lords of Liberation. Let us have 1 minute silence and then we sound together the great invocation number 2 and Michael will lead us. 1 minute silence.
Let the Lords of Liberation issue forth. Let them bring succor to the sons of men. Let the rider from the secret place come forth, and coming save. Come forth, O Mighty One. Let the souls of men awaken to the light, and may they stand with massed intent. Let the fiat of the Lord go forth. The end of woe has come. Come forth, O Mighty One. The hour of service of the saving force has now arrived. Let it be spread abroad, O Mighty One. Let light and love and power and death fulfill the purpose of the coming one. The will to save is here. The love to carry forth the work is widely spread abroad. The active aid of all who know the truth is also here. Come forth, O Mighty One, and blend these three. Construct a great defending wall. The rule of evil now must end.
We recognize the inner silence. And now we have reached the final step of protection. We are going to create in our creative imagination a wheel of fire with seven spokes of love. We recognize Christ standing in the center. Let us now ourselves with the inner working group standing in the center create the fiery wheel. See yourself and the inner working group standing in the center at the hub of the wheel, which radiates. With the living, all-consuming substance of love from the Sacred Heart of the Christ. Yourself and the group as if we were that hub. From that central position, we send out seven streams of living fire, radiating upon the triangle in all rainbow colors. The covenantal triangle being protected by this living wheel of fire with its seven streams of love. The wheel spinning the protective energies and these protective energies being spread into the through the governmental triangle around the whole country, every single state. And the group is demanding the good law. The clarion is heard. We are standing for the good law. And we demand the establishment of the good law in the United States. Bring illumination through the evocation of will. Bring imagination through the evocation of love. Bring inspiration through the evocation of the intelligence. And again, to the end, we will state, may thy will be done. Not ours. And we may release our mudra. But in our imagination and our inner reality, we will keep on standing and hold our positions in the inner planes with deep gratitude that we can share this work together. And thank you for everybody.